Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. What do faithful moms want for their children? The answer is found in our text today from John chapter 17, namely these words. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one. Words of Jesus. Keep them in your name, Jesus said. There was a family who had a son, almost 18 years old. The son was having some fun with some friends one weekend. That translates to he was about to get into trouble. He was being pressured by his friends to get some drinks that in the U.S. requires a special driver's license with a birth date indicating the buyer is 21, not 17. So that was a problem. Plus, he was a little low on cash, as he had just put most of his spare money in a savings account he was storing up for college. Smart kid. So with little cash and no legal license to buy, the son and his friends were tempted to go to the local liquor store, the one without security cameras, and to buy a 12-pack, or sneak out with it, I should say, the less than luxurious liquor. Soon, three 17-year-olds found themselves in said liquor store on a busy Saturday afternoon. The son glanced over the selections of 12-packs, waiting for the right moment to grab and go. When the right moment came, he grabbed and went, except he was met at the door by someone familiar. "Oh, hi, Mom," said the boy. His mother looked into his eyes and said, "This is not what our family does. This will not look good for our name," she said. More than just being wrong and illegal, stealing would bring shame upon the family. People may question the parenting and the family values. The mom didn't want her family to have a bad reputation. Needless to say, the mom made her son put the item back in the store and then apologized to the owner, who was kind enough to forgive him and release him to his mom, knowing that she would not let this go unpunished. So the son was grounded until he was 30. Good thing mom was there that day. It could have been a lot worse. He could have been stopped by other of God's appointed authorities, fourth commandment, who could have enacted a harsher yet deserved temporal punishment and, of course, brought shame to the family name. Now, this is not the kind of mothering moms like to do, but it seemed God put her there that day to help teach her son a lesson and preserve the family name. In a sense, that's exactly what our Lord Jesus does. He was sent into our world to help keep us in the family of God with a name like no other. God's name is holy, second commandment, and he was and wants to have a good reputation for that name. But it's not good enough that God created us and then let us fall into sin and then said, "Hey, let's just try to keep my name good on earth, okay?" No, left to our own devices, we would ruin God's name and bring shame to God. Such happened when Abraham lied about his wife being his sister, or when Jacob stole his brother's birthright, or when David committed adultery with Bathsheba. This is not what our family does, God reminds his children. But where was their mother to catch them in the act? God indeed sent a family member into the world to stop sin in its tracks and preserve the family name. Jesus came, but not simply to be another authority figure to keep watch on our behavior and occasionally keep us out of the police station. God sent his Son to die for the sins that we've done, to atone for the sins of the whole world. More than that, the Son, as we heard in the text today, who on earth prays to the Father for us. He prays, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." His prayer is heard and answered. Because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we are kept in God's good name, given us in baptism, and washed by his blood. He keeps us in the good name of God by the forgiveness of our sins. He was in the world like our mother, guarding and keeping us, that the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh would not win the day. Our Lord Jesus sanctifies us in God's truth by being the truth for us. By his prayer on our behalf and by his dying and rising, he keeps us from falsehood and all that it brings, false belief and despair and other great shame and vice. Likewise, he sends us out into the world with his truth and his name in our minds and on our lips, that we would not be drunk on wine, but drink deeply from the Word, sanctified by the Spirit, sanctified in truth. God gives us, indeed, a blessing when we have faithful mothers who watch over us, correct us when we need it, discipline us daily, bring us up in the faith that we've received from the Lord. But to preserve children in God's pure name, we needed more than a watchful mother. There are plenty of opportunities for children to do wayward things when moms won't be watching. And contrary to popular belief, moms don't have eyes in the back of their head. In other words, moms are not omniscient, nor omnipresent. But Jesus, as God ascended on high, he truly is God, omniscient and omnipresent. He is omniscient with eyes all around, seeing all that needs to be seen. And when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father who sees and forgives from on high. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Neither mom nor we can sanctify us completely, but Christ Jesus does and has. And for that, today and always, we give thanks. We end today the way we started, listening to what Jesus and our faithful mothers would pray for us. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. May it be. In Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.